Welcome to another edition of Money Life Weekend from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Dave Ball, and our host Chuck Bentley is away from the studio today. So we're bringing you a message by Dr. John Haggai. He is the founder, chairman, and CEO of the Haggai Institute here in Atlanta, Georgia. For more information about the Haggai Institute, go to crown.org and click on the related content button there on the homepage. Now, let's join our teacher, Dr. John Haggai.
I believe the most disbelieved verse in the Word of God is Acts 20:35. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. I do not believe the vast majority of people who call themselves Christians believe it. In fact, I think they disbelieve it. And in not believing it, they suffer self-inflicted wounds. They put the lie to their alleged faith in the inspiration of Holy Scriptures. Hear what the Word of God says. If you act upon it, it will revolutionize your life, and you will get rid of all of your money worries because you will develop Christ's philosophy. Let me ask you a question. In most church business meetings, most sessions, most deacons' meetings, most elders' meetings, most corporate meetings of the church, what is the subject that consumes most discussion time? Soul winning? No. The homeless? No. New methods of mission outreach? No. What is it? Money. Number two, what is the one subject which, when preached upon on a Sunday morning, generates more hostility than any other subject? Abortion? No. Murder? No. Perjury? No. It's money. Do you not find this incongruity baffling? If it is the dominant theme in our business meetings, how is it we tiptoe around it with muted whispers on Sunday morning? I meet with leaders all over the world, in the halls of government, the campuses of universities, the boardrooms of commerce, and their conversations convince me that a large percentage of them rate their self-worth in terms of their net worth. If financial reverses force them to abandon, or their wives to abandon, the clothes with certain labels, membership in a certain club, enrollment of their children in certain posh schools, and a home in a prestige location, in short, a certain social cachet and luxurious living standard, their self-worth takes a nosedive. Isn't that sad?
You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Our special guest teacher today is Dr. John Haggai, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Want to learn how to make and manage money God's way, but you don't have time to read a book or participate in a Bible study? Then check out The Journey to True Financial Freedom, a live seminar presented by Crown Financial Ministries. It's fast-paced and life-changing. Invest just one day of your time in a Journey to True Financial Freedom seminar, and you can learn God's financial principles and practical ways to apply them for a lifetime. A trained instructor will teach you how to set priorities, develop a spending plan, eliminate debt, and more. You'll gain a deeper understanding of stewardship and faithfulness. If you're interested in attending a Journey to True Financial Freedom seminar, go to crown.org to find one in your area, or call 1-800-722-1976 and ask one of our friendly consultants to locate one for you. That's 800-722-1976 or online at crown.org.
Welcome back to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Dave Ball, and our host Chuck Bentley is away from the studio today. So we're bringing you a message by Dr. John Haggai, founder, chairman, and CEO of the Haggai Institute in Atlanta, Georgia. Now, let's join our teacher, Dr. John Haggai.
In the very first chapter of the Book of God, he emphasizes the truth that he is the owner. The word God is mentioned 15 times in the first 14 verses, 31 times in the first chapter, 45 times in the first two chapters. Making a point, I'd say. Jesus spoke more about money than any other subject. He spoke about money 88 times in Matthew, 54 times in Mark, 92 times in Luke. 16 out of 38 parables have to do with the right and wrong use of money. One out of every six verses of the four Gospels has to do with the right and wrong use of material possessions. There is no such thing as being right with God and being wrong on the money question. Suppose I were to go to the Atlanta Federal Penitentiary, and I say, now what? I want all of you folks who are church members to get together here. I want to talk to you. Then I separate from that the group are there for grand larceny. And I say, now I want you to join me in prayer 3 days a week. I'll come here. We're going to pray for worldwide revival. He said, are you kidding? Those guys can pray when the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Well, I tell you, they got caught. But there are people who are stealing from God every single Sunday. When God said to the people of Israel, you're far from me, in Malachi, they said, well, how do we get back to you? He didn't say, send 1,000 missionaries, well, that's fine. He didn't say, organize 50 evangelistic stadium crusades, that's commendable. He didn't say, print and distribute 100 million Bibles, that's admirable. He didn't say, organize large-scale all-night prayer meetings, though that's praiseworthy. He says, stop robbing me. That's all. Just stop robbing me. Stop taking from me what is mine. And then he challenges us to pay the tithes. He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Well, let me get back to that in a moment. Why do we give? God gives us the answer in Genesis. You don't give because God needs it. He said, I own it all. Psalm 50. And if I were hungry, I would not ask you for it. Do you think that God reads the Wall Street Journal? Do you think his wealth goes up and down with the Dow Jones or the price of gold? We give it not because God needs it. We give it because we need it. In the Garden of Eden, God said, you have mastery over it all, but leave that tree alone. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Leave it alone. He wanted to remind Adam and Eve always who owned it all. When you take the tithe, which he says, that is mine, you repeat in kind, if not in degree, the very sin that brought a blight on the human race and got Adam and Eve kicked out of the Garden of Eden. I mentioned how many times the word God is mentioned. We give in recognition of divine ownership. God made it a point. He is the owner, we're the steward. I put some money in the hands of my broker, and to the degree that he is successful in enhancing the corpus, he is blessed. That's the responsibility of a steward, to enhance what has been entrusted to him or to her, and what a joy it is. Now he says, I want you to take this. I'm giving you everything, but 10% of it goes to me. 1/10 of it goes to me. And I will tell you that if you're not making it on 10/10, then give him his 10th, and you'll be surprised at how much better your finances will go. So you give in recognition of divine ownership. Secondly, you give in appreciation of divine grace. You cannot earn your salvation. Salvation is by grace. Grace is God giving to you everything that he requires of you. And he's given it all to you. He requires righteousness, but you're not righteous. He requires holiness, but you're not holy. But grace is God giving us righteousness and giving us holiness through Jesus Christ, who has made unto us righteousness and holiness. Grace is not increased because you're good, because of merit, and it's not decreased because you're bad. You may be culturally impeccable, socially acceptable, religiously advanced, and even a member of a church, but if you do not know Jesus Christ in a personal way, if you have not received him as your personal Savior and Lord, if you have not come to him with a spirit that says, just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind, all I need, in thee I find, O Lamb of God, I come. I say, if you have not come there, you are as lost as the hog-jowled, red-nosed son of perdition who rolls in the gutter on a beastly drunk. Romans 11:32. He hath concluded all under sin that he might have mercy upon all. We give an appreciation of divine grace. We can't pay for it, but we can certainly show our appreciation for it. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Thirdly, we give in surrender of life and talents to the Lord. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Strange, he didn't say your heart. That's important. But right here, he says, I want you to present your bodies. Is he retreating from the higher to the Lord? No. Don't underestimate the importance of the body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 and on I could go. How do I present my body? I can't climb into the offering plate. So how do I do it? I give what represents my body. Money. Money is coined energy and coined time. It's the coined expression of your value as it is assessed in the world for the service you give. And when you put that in the plate, you say, I am demonstrating the surrender of life and talent to the Lord. In that way, I present my body.
Well, you're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries, and our special guest teacher today is Dr. John Haggai, and we'll be back with more from Dr. Haggai right after this short break.
Abraham.
It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. Crown Financial Ministries is proud to introduce God Provides, a new film learning experience featuring Golden Globe nominee Dean Jones.
What if God told me to do something I did not understand?
Through epic storytelling, this series of six short films presents timeless illustrations of God's never-failing ability to provide for His people. See the hand of God at work in engaging biblical stories that remain true even today in making life decisions. With each film, you'll receive a companion guide with discussion questions and activities to use with your family or a group. God Provides is available now at crown.org or by calling 1-800-722-1976. To learn more about the films, visit crown.org/God Provides.
Welcome back to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Our special guest teacher today is Dr. John Haggai, and he's bringing us a biblical perspective on tithing.
Now, to whom do I present my body? Not to God. He is spirit. He has no need of a body. Not to Jesus Christ. He has His own glorious body. I present it to the Holy Spirit, who came to earth without a body and made Himself dependent upon my body and your body to carry out His work in the world. And what is that? To perpetuate the work that Jesus came to initiate. And what was that? To seek and to save that which was lost. And so the Holy Spirit comes in response to the sending of our Lord Jesus, who said, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, He will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. When He has come, He will do the things that I came to do. How does He do it? He has no body but your body. He weeps through your eyes. He speaks through your mouth. He hears through your ears. He thinks through your brain. He loves through your heart. He serves through your hands. And I want to tell you that He is roadblocked in doing His work if you're stealing from Him just as much as our economy is roadblocked by corporate executives who are perpetrating fraud. Oh, I know there are some who say tithing was under the law. So it was. But it was also before the law. The Holy Spirit knew that some people would reject the teaching. So in Malachi 3, where He says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, four verses before that, He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Abraham tithed. Was he under the law? Of course not. He was 400 years before the law. He tithed to Melchizedek, Melchizedek was a type of Christ. And in Hebrews 7, it says, even as Melchizedek received tithes from Abraham, even so our Lord, who is in the Holy of Holies, even He receiveth, present tense, tithes now. I had a dear guy on my church staff 45 years ago, almost 50 years ago now. As a pastor, I always checked to see what people were giving. Oh, you did? Oh, yes. You see, giving was never done privately in the Bible. Always publicly. Always, always, always. Publicly. Well, anyway, I was stunned to see that my educational director, who, by the way, was the highest paid in any church in the United States, he was putting in $2 a week. I nearly had a stroke. Back in my younger days when I wasn't as careful in my wording and I wasn't as laid back as I am now in my senior years, I used to speak rather forthrightly. And I told my congregation, I said, if what you're giving is a tithe of what you're making, we're going to put your name down to receive a Thanksgiving basket. Well, anyway, I took him to lunch one day. I was driving down 4th Street. He's in heaven, so he's smiling. He knows I'm telling the truth. I said, Otto, I was checking over the records yesterday. By the way, I never accepted a church before they understood that I was going to check the records. They can check my records, I check theirs. I said, buddy, I just found out that you are putting $2 a week in the offering. Oh, that. I said, yeah, that. He said, John, you know that I turned down a position in industry paying $40,000 a year. Now, a half a century ago, that was big, big money. Very few executives made $40,000 a year. And he said, I turned my back on it, and I'm working here for you, for the Lord, for the church, for $8,600 a year, which means I am giving $31,400 a year, plus my $2 a Sunday. He said, now what do you think about that? I pulled my car over and I said, look me in the eye. I'll tell you what I think about it. The only difference between you and Judas Iscariot, at least he had such a delicate conscience, he went out and hanged himself. You do not give on the basis of what you could make and are not making. You give on the basis of the increase. I've had some of these big farmers. I mean, these really big farmers come and say, I just don't know how to calculate my tithe. I said, really? Well, you do it the same way you calculate your taxes, brother. Exactly the same way. Well, you say, did your education director start tithing? Yep. I told him if he didn't, he was fired. You say, he didn't give from the heart. I don't care where he gave from. I wasn't going to have anybody on my staff who was stealing from God. I really think he entered into the joy of it before it was all over. Somebody said, give until it hurts and then give until it stops hurting. Pretty good. Pretty good. In 1945, the CEO of a famous oil company, you'd know the name very well, invited me to drive back to Chicago in his limousine from Pekin, Illinois, where I had preached that night. I was associate minister. And he was very kind. I was a fledgling preacher. We drove along under the starless night in the cornfields of Illinois. He said, I think God's got a good future for you, young man. You show signs of some promise. And I got a good blessing from your message now, but stay on your knees, love the Lord, read the scriptures, study hard, love people. But I do want to give you one warning. Don't ever talk about money. It will kill a church deader than a dodo. He said, take me for instance. I used to tithe, but now my income is so high and my net worth is so vast, I can't afford to tithe. I said, stop the car. He said, got problems? Yeah, stop the car. Big problems. He thought I needed relief, but not the kind I... He said, what's the matter? You're not getting out. I said, oh no, we're going to have prayer. Are we? I said, yes. We're going to pray that God will decrease your net worth and reduce your income so you can start tithing again. Can you believe that kind of cockeyed logic? The Lord says, obey me, put me to the test.
We'll be back with more from Dr. John Haggai right after this short break. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries.
Music.
What would you say if I told you that in 10 short weeks you could decrease your debt, increase your savings, and strengthen your relationships while growing spiritually? Sound too good to be true? Well, all of these results are being reported by thousands who have completed the Biblical Financial Study from Crown Financial Ministries. This 10-week study teaches you more than practical principles about managing money. It focuses on the life-changing truth of God's Word. Individuals are being transformed as they learn proven biblical principles and how to apply them to their finances. To find a biblical financial study group in your area, go online to the My Crown section of crown.org. And if there's not a Crown 10-week biblical financial study already planned in your area, consider starting one. To find out how, call 1-800-722-1976 or visit crown.org.
Welcome back to this final segment of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Our special guest teacher today is Dr. John Haggai, teaching on a biblical perspective on tithing.
A lady said to me, "Brother Haggai, I'm a child of grace." "Really?" "Oh, yes. The tithe is under the law." I asked her a few questions predicated upon the basic question, does grace abrogate the law or fulfill the law? Tell me anything that the law required that grace does not go a step further and require even more. The law says, "Thou shalt not kill." Grace says, "If you hate your brother out of cause, you're as guilty as if you put a bullet through his brain." The law says, "Thou shalt not steal." Grace says, "If you withhold your hand from helping the poor, you're just as guilty as if you committed grand larceny." The law says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Grace says, "Don't look with lust." I want to tell you, if you have not studied grace, you have forgotten the stringent demands, so incredibly stringent, we are hopeless apart from God's special provision to us and for us in Himself. And does it make sense to you that a child of grace will give less in the age of grace than the Jew is required to do under the law? You say, "Oh, the Jew tithe." Oh, no. Go back and read the Old Testament. He gave two tithes every year. And then every third year he gave a tithe. So if you average it out, he gave 23 1/3%, plus the fact that they never paid for building funds out of their tithe. Now, where does the tithe go? I believe it goes to your local church. Your tithe does not go to Billy Graham or to Campus Crusade or to Haggai Institute. You say, "How do you come up with that?" Well, do you remember in 1 Corinthians 16:2 it says, "Upon the first day of the week, let every man lay by him in store." The Greek word is thesaurus, from which we get the word treasury. You know, roges thesaurus, the treasury of words, that's the same word. And that is the Greek word that is used in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, in Malachi 3, when it says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the store, into the treasury." This is your treasure. The Bible says, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's." Where do you do that? Where Caesar says render them. You render your income tax where Washington tells you to, not where you think I'd like to do it. And you render God's tithe where He says to do it, in the storehouse.
Well, you've been listening to a message from Dr. John Haggai. Dr. Haggai is the founder, chairman, and CEO of the Haggai Institute in Atlanta, Georgia. If you'd like more information about the Haggai Institute, go to crown.org and click on the related content button there on our homepage. Also, if you joined us late today, you can listen to this entire broadcast online at crown.org, or better yet, why not sign up for the free podcast, and we'll deliver Money Life right to your computer each day. For Chuck Bentley and the entire staff here at Crown Financial Ministries, this is Dave Ball saying thanks for joining us for this edition of Money Life Weekend.